a gun to my girl, but me.
All right, let's f***ing do this! I'm not afraid to die!
I want to win the games until he dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the games until he dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and more entertainment radio.
This is episode 71 of Games and More Entertainment Radio. I am C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And what is today? Today is Wednesday the 15th of December, just 1 week before, well, the show that's going to air on Christmas. So it's when you hear this, when this airs, it'll be Christmas, and you'll be listening to us on Christmas with your family, right?
Right. Well, that's next week's.
Next week's, right. Cool. You're going to have your grandma there listening to us swear like sailors and
she's gonna love every second of it.
That's right. And then you're gonna say, you know what? The show the week before, which would be this one now, Grandma, you should have listened to because they told me to tell you or told you what to buy me for Christmas. So here is the list. We have an impressive show. Chock full of the fattest games for all the systems. So you need to go grab your parents or whatever, get your sister on the phone, and tell them to tune in. Because this is it. This is what you're going to want here. We found, like, the best games and came up with some lists of not wastes of money.
Right.
Wastes of time, which is our goal in life, is to waste our time doing this crap, having a good time playing some video games. So, we're going to open up, what? Wow. You look like you had something to do, though. All right, with the PC games, mm-hmm. The computer games that everybody likes to play so much, whether or not they're beating the consoles. Because last year was rough. This year was rough.
Yeah.
I'm starting to suspect, though, that next year is going to be the year of the PC until about November.
Think so?
I really do. I think that the consoles are... Because this is how the cycle works, you know what I mean? You got a console that comes out that blows away the computers because they're cheap, and they got the fattest games, you know, and they destroy... And
the consoles have been out a while now, though.
Exactly. They're getting old, you know.
But this year, the PC... technologically wise, whooped the ass at all of them.
It did, but the games still weren't there. And I think it was all that scare. Like, remember, like, 2 years ago, it was all about, like, every magazine cover was like, the death of PC gaming? Is this it? Is it over? You know, don't you remember all those articles? It was like, all you heard about was the PC games were coming to an end. You know, ridiculous. But then we had a strong, strong holiday season for computers, I think. I think there were some really nice games that came out, you know, mm-hmm. stuff that you're just not seeing on a console. And people are remembering that. You know, we've got the prices falling on some really nice hardware. You know, you've got the GeForce 6800 series. They're pretty affordable, if you ask me. You know, you've got the ATI, the X series. You know, the X700s, X800s.
Right.
Not too insanely priced. About a little bit less than the price of a new console, or a little bit more, depending on which one you get, of course.
Right, right.
I've been looking high and low for a nice 6800. I think I want to get the GT. Because it's not the $5 million version, you know? And it's affordable and still fast enough. And it's a lot faster than my 5900.
I always get the one that's right below the absolute fattest because there'll be like a $500 one and then a $300 one.
Exactly.
And the price, the difference between the two is nowhere near worth $200.
Yeah. It's nice to say you have it, though.
Right.
But,
and it will play the games a little better, but it's just... Yeah. It's just not worth it.
I don't think it's worth it either. That's why I want to find a GT, because they're like $350. But my problem, I looked all over. I need the PCI Express one, mm-hmm. and I can't fucking find it. Because I'm sitting here. This is torture, right? A little story here. We got a chock full show, but I got to say something about this, okay? I looked all over this goddamn town for some DDR2 and for a 6800 GT PCI Express, and I can't find it. And I don't understand how these companies... you know, like, operate. Like, why can't I go into Best Buy and buy the best hardware? Why can't I go into a CompUSA and buy the best hardware? You know, you can't find this. Even the specialty shops, they laughed at me. They were like, yeah, right. Like, we're going to carry that. You know, like little mom-and-pop store type places. And
because the people who want the high-end crap, they go online.
You shouldn't have to, though. You know what I mean? Like,
if but they want to.
Only because it's there. You know, I would have bought, if I could have found it the other day, I would have got it. You know, I really would have. I mean, I'm done. I'm sitting on a 3.4 Pentium 4 here. It's still sitting in the box. Mm-hmm. I haven't opened it. I got a motherboard to go with it. Haven't opened it. Because I can't find a board and processor. And I almost asked you today, hey, you want to go down to Sacramento instead and go down to Fry's Electronics and see if we can't look at some hardware, and then we'll come back and do the show? Screw playing games today. That's how bad I'm jonesing for this. So yeah, it would have been fun too, you know, yeah. But like, that's a lot less time to play EQ than I wanted today. So it's not happening. But anyway, on with the PC games list here. So, oh, and you know, I'm having a hell of a time finding a PCI Express video card anyway. ATI's got like 30 of them. Like, I can get whatever I want. Mm-hmm. I look up on the usual places I shop at, you know, that I know are reliable and good prices and whatnot. They got like one. I found one 6800 GT. No Ultras, but a GT. And it's $500 for a GT. Should be like $350.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So I didn't order it. I'm pissed. I'm like sitting here going, damn it. You know, I got this hardware here that I can't play with yet.
And it's because the slot is like... Yeah. Brand new high-tech.
That's why I kind of wish this had an AGP slot. Like, then I think, well, I can go buy another motherboard, right? I think to myself, well, I'll just get a different board. I'll get one with AGP. But then I'm like, well, fuck, I'm right back to the $500. Uh-huh. You know, and may as well just get the other card. And not
which
have...
be faster anyway.
Yeah. So it's like, well, it's a GT also, but I think there's something about it, so... But, oh, pissed. Anyhow. I feel better. Got that off my chest.
There we go.
PC games that you should be requesting for the year. We're going to start with the obvious ones, of course. The shooters. The ones that everybody seems to like a lot. They're really in no particular order.
There's three genres for the PC that really dominate.
We've got, on the top of the list, and this is no order of preference or anything. This is just, you know, we were just, as the names were popping in our heads, we were coming up with our list here. Half-Life 2. Can't go wrong for the PC. I think almost anybody with a if you've got a brother and you don't know what to buy him, you know, and he's got a computer with 27 fans and lights and fucking a window in it, chances are he's gonna want Half-Life 2 if he doesn't already have it.
I imagine so.
You know, you can kind of pick these people out sometimes. You know, you really can. If he's always walking down the hall sideways, you know, he's screaming boom headshot every now and again. Chances are he's gonna want some Half-Life 2. Okay, it's got Counter-Strike Source with it, you know, it's gonna be, it probably already has it, so you might wanna do a little prying, you know. You know who we needed to visit us this week? Santa Claus. That would have been a great guest on the show. Maybe we can line that up for next week. That's what I think. I really think that we should get Santa Claus down here. See what he says. Maybe he has to send out a representative, though, like an elf or something, you know. That'd be awesome. Okay, Doom 3. Another solid shooter, and in my opinion, a fantastic game. It gets a lot of shit because it's not the game that people thought they were going to play.
Right.
You know, that game that they thought is called Unreal Tournament 2004.
Right.
Okay? If you want a game that's going to scare the shit out of you and be an amazing single-player experience.
I think if the technology was there, this is what Doom 1 and 2 would have been.
I think so, too. Absolutely. This is what they want to do. They wanted to give you that creepy, scary, you're on a fucking base somewhere.
The best way they could do it before was lots of enemies.
Yeah, lots of shooting, way too much, way over the top. It was fun, you know, it was great. Way, way different than Doom 3, though, which is more of the scary, creepy, holy crap, I'm gonna die, you know, around the next corner kind of thing, you know, which they did a fantastic job on. But again, like Half-Life 2, Doom 3 pushes the hardware. Pushes your computer really bad.
Doom 3 pushes it real bad.
Yeah, it does. It's brutal. You gotta make sure that you're on top of, you know, your game or whoever you're buying this for. You know, find out. Make sure their computer is, you know, a pretty high-end machine, you know, because they're not gonna be able to play this on a crappy machine. Mm. Unreal Tournament, on the opposite coin here, on the opposite side of the coin, is gonna run, you know, on pretty much, it seems like, you know, a really low-end machine and still be, you know,
awesome.
Yeah. Very playable. But you throw it onto a really high-end machine, and it's gonna not only keep pace, it's gonna run fast still. It's gonna look better too.
And it still looks really good.
Yeah, it is quite something. And now you can pick that up for only $30. And I do believe that Doom 3 is on sale for $30 this next week.
Really?
This week. At Best Buy of all places. I might have to remember to mention that to other people. Yeah. Because they need to go buy that game, because it's good. And it's only $30. I'm pretty sure they had a sale this week. I remember looking at the ad. But anyway, $30, for Doom 3 or Unreal Tournament 2004. 2004, Unreal Tournament, comes with the director's type version, whatever the hell it was called, collector's edition or whatever the hell it is, I can't remember. And it's actually got a bunch of mods and stuff with it, you know, on the discs.
Right.
Fantastic. You know, people...
That gold packaging now? The colors are gold instead of the blue or whatever.
Maybe it's the gold edition or something. I can't remember what it's called. But, yeah, that's a surefire safe bet right there. That is
it's got a lot of the stuff that won the make Something Unreal.
Yeah, from the Something Unreal thing. Yeah, it's got a lot of the stuff from there. You're going to get to play, like, I'm sure Red Orchestra's on there. I understand Frag Ops is on there, which I think is the best one of the mods for the game. So you're going to get all that too. But those are also free downloads if you don't have it or if you find the other version cheaper.
Right.
And don't forget, there is a DVD version of that available.
Get it.
Yes, do not buy the CD version. Okay, let's see, moving on.
Again, if the person you're buying this for has a computer that can run it, they have a DVD-ROM.
Yes, exactly. I mean, they're probably tired of having all those CDs anyway, and we'll be thankful for the DVDs. I want to put, without too much putting a knowledge on this game, I wanted this to make the list, and I think it deserves to make the list, Bloodlines. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. This is a new release.
I put a little bit of time into it. I am impressed with the Source Engine. The facial expressions that the models can make is quite impressive.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks really good. And I like the whole world and the way that the RPG elements of it are in there, too. That is fantastic. Now, which strikes me as, you know, you may have a friend or relative or whatever with the lights and the crazy whistles and the switches and the dials and all that on his computer, but they may not be the hardcore first-person shooter Counter-Strike type player. They might be more, well, I'd say like me, where they enjoy those games too, but they prefer something that was a little more RPG to it, you know?
Right, has a little in-depth character involvement.
Yeah, that's why I think that this game is probably a surefire bet for anybody, you know? It's gotta be good. So, I haven't heard anything terrible about it, but I haven't, unfortunately, got to sit down and really hammer it out with it myself yet. Battlefield 1942. Now, this is a really old one. Now, a few old games did make this list, but you can still buy them today,
mm-hmm.
and they're usually in a collector's pack, though.
Right.
You know, so you get all the expansions and, yeah, exact. God, wow.
Every time.
Every week. It's the same person. The calls. There we go. Now the phone's unplugged. Now we'll see what they do. Okay. That solves that. Mind you, I was on the phone with this person earlier. I hung up the phone. I got an instant message from this person, and he's calling back. It's been like 2 hours. Okay, Battlefield 1942, you can get like a collector's pack of that. They got all the.
And that was an extremely popular game for quite a while.
And there's some good mods for it. That Desert Combat mod is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be just the shit mod for that game. So, and I got some friends that are actually hooked on that, and it's all they talk about. I would say along those same lines, your favorite and mine, any generic Vietnam game. Last year's World War II games have upgraded. We've gone to Vietnam now.
Yep.
And you're going to find a lot of those. And there's actually a DVD version only, collector's pack of whatever the best one, I guess, is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too into these war simulation type things. I'd rather go with the Unreal Tournament, Doom, and Bloodlines style of game.
I personally prefer when I'm playing an FPS. I like the futuristic laser guns. And
yeah,
it's a personal preference. But a lot of people really dig the old-time realistic... Combat.
Absolutely, and if you know, realistic combat, realistic weapons, that goes over big with people. Half-Life 2 is still a safe bet because you've got Counter-Strike Source there.
Mm.
People are going to love to play that. You play that online, you'll never talk to that person again because they're going to be busy. Okay, also, you know what you can get for free is America's Army. America's Army, right up the alley.
Propaganda machine.
yes, exactly. I hate to recommend it.
It is
But I hear good things about it.
U.S. Army funded game, and that's why it's free. But I hear great things about it. You mentioned it before.
Yeah, and I tried it and I didn't like it one bit. I did not like that
game. But that's not really a Christmas present because you just download it.
Yeah. But you know, you could put it onto a disc and make a nice label for somebody. If the person, you know, I mean, imagine if somebody's never heard of that game before. It's kind of into PC games, but way in. To like, I mean, if you go into, you know, you go to your friend's house and he's got posters of military stuff all over the place, and you know, And he's always talking about guns and whatever, you know, and planes and tanks and war and stuff, you know. Something like this they might really like, you know. Make up a nice disc for him, you know, so he just has to pop it in and it auto-runs. It's very little work to do something like that, you know. Make, you know, whip something up like that. Good for if you're on a budget, too.
Another game that you should really think about if that's the type of person you're shopping for is Full Spectrum Warrior.
Full Spectrum Warrior, yeah. Is that on PC?
Yes.
All right.
I would personally recommend it on the PC more than the Xbox.
Really?
Okay. The Xbox version, there's a lot of functions that each button does depending on the situation, depending on which way you're pressing the analog stick and all kinds of crazy stuff. And the interface just doesn't really lend itself very much for a controller.
Yeah, that's...
Basically, in that game, you're not a shooter. You're basically the general...
Yeah, you're given the orders and whatnot. Yeah, yeah. But again, people that you know, there's a group of people that love that. You got to kind of know, you know, who you're shopping for. But these are the games to get them. You know, we got the titles right here. Let's see what else. I wanted to kind of go through all these first-person shooter types. I'm skipping around our list here. Now this one's old too, Max Payne 2. However, you can pick it up for like $20 now, and it's still a solid game. Somebody who's going to enjoy that single player first-person experience. I'm
they
sure.
gotta like the Matrix.
Yeah, they gotta like the Matrix. And I'm sure, you know, I mean, you know your friends well enough to know if they're gonna be strictly, you know, online players only. Mm-hmm. You're gonna wanna probably avoid, you know, Max Payne 2. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if they don't get into the whole multiplayer thing, you gotta go with, like, you know, Bloodlines, Max Payne 2. You gotta go with something with a really awesome single player experience. Right. Doom 3, you know, I mean, people, they're gonna love it. Another one that I'm gonna put high up on this list for the single player first person shooter fans is Thief 3, Deadly Shadows. That game is just fantastic. And it's like $30 now, right? I mean, you don't have to go out. I mean, a great game did not mean the price of the game. Contrary to our review system. Unfortunately, you know, when prices go down, the system falls apart. But for $30...
Better for the player, for the buyer.
Know, exactly. Exactly. So, that's a good bet. Now, here's one I don't know about personally, because I didn't like it. Far Cry. Mm. And I keep hearing people telling me how great this game is supposed to be, and I just don't see it. I just don't see it. It seems sloppy to me. Mm-hmm. Really sloppy. It seems like a good tech demo. You know, you run a benchmark on your machine and let it kick its ass, you know, but I don't know about playing it. It didn't seem very fun to me. There was a lot of problems I had with it. I'm sure, you know, there's been some work done to the game, you know, with patches and whatever.
Right.
But I keep hearing about it. It comes free with some video cards now, I believe. Maybe it's sound cards. I don't know. I've had to install it a couple times. I can't remember what it was with. But not a bad game either. Probably in the $40 range now.
Probably.
Yeah. So that's another good safe bet for those first-person shooter fans. And I don't know about the multiplayer aspect of that, but I understand the single player, if there even is. And I know the single player is where it's at for that. So keep an eye out for that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that I think is going to fall heavily on the end of the multiplayer side. If you've got a friend who loves these multiplayer kind of games, you know, online with a bunch of other people, and you always see him playing first-person shooter style, Tribes Vengeance. Mm-hmm. Okay, and if you can't afford...
Unreal Tournament is the same way. There basically is no single player.
The single player is a little... leaves a bit to be desired, you know, but still it's there. Yeah. You know,
this one actually has a pretty solid first single player mode.
Yeah, unlike Unreal Tournament. That one doesn't really have I mean, I've played through it quite a bit, and it's just, you know, match after match.
And I played Vengeance, and I had a blast. I mean, granted, it was my first Tribes experience.
Which blows my mind. Because, you know, and if you can't find that, you can find Tribes 2 for $10 now.
Mm.
And people still play it because it is an awesome game.
It is a ton of fun.
You know, I mean, if you're on a budget, Tribes 2, I think you could not go wrong. If that person likes first-person shooters, you know, go take a trip down to the bargain bin there and see what they got in there. Because you're going to find stuff like that in there.
I don't like recommending this, but Walmart tends to have a rather large section of the bargain bin games.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I was thinking CompUSA. They had actual bins where you would, like, people would...
CompUSA is another good one.
Yeah, that seems to be a good spot for something like that. So that should be solid for any first-person shooter fan. Really, I mean, those are the games they've wanted to play this year or they played this year. So, I mean, you know what's buying. All right, we just gave you the list. You can't go wrong. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to get an email. I bought this game for my brother and he says it sucks ass. Okay, now, let's go to... Well, now I've got some random stuff, kind of, so I'm just going to go down the list rather than try to keep them straight, because there's just way too many here. Well, the MMORPGs are together.
Right.
If you ask me, there's four that are really strong right now that I think people should, if they're looking, if they're into MMORPGs, they should get into this. Now we're gonna keep our opinions to ourselves.
We are.
But we're gonna tell you, you know, that there's different gamers for these kind of games. And this kind of game isn't something that you go out and you buy for $50. They have to pay to play these games after you buy it for them. So make sure they have access to a credit card. Or go out and buy them one of those little gift cards for three months worth of play. You know?
So then they get four because one month with free. The game.
Yeah, yeah. So not a bad idea there. But Final Fantasy XI. If you're aiming for somebody probably who's never been into these kind of games before, I would say that that's probably a solid bet. It's amazing fun. And it also was on the PS2. So
better,
you know,
on the computer, though.
The person you know... Yeah, probably. I would definitely rather play on the computer than the PS2.
But with the computer, you'll want to get them a controller. Gamepad if they don't have one.
Yeah. So keep that in mind, too. You know, maybe.
But it's very expensive for the PlayStation because you have to buy it with the hard drive.
With the hard drive and all that. Right, right. That's, what, $100 there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's also an expansion pack out for that called Chains of Promethea. I mean, you could get a nice little pack together for somebody. You know, you get them Final Fantasy XI, which I think is $30 now.
Mm-hmm.
You get them the Chains of Promethea expansion.
Probably also $30.
You know, and a controller. You know, maybe a game card. Yeah, I think the expansion is $32. And, you know, you set up a nice little pack there for somebody to get into a game and, you know, lose the next month or year of their life, you know. I got 99 days of time played on that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. All right. And also, another one I think is going to be really good, particularly for the not hardcore MMORPG type players. The guys that want to blow through it rather quickly and then don't have, and maybe not want to, but necessarily don't have the amount of time that, say, something like EverQuest 1 would take. something like that. Yeah, I don't think anybody has that much time. But World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft would be probably a safe bet for that. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, you're paying to play. So they have gift cards, you know, for a couple of months of play. And you can set somebody up with that, and it's insanely popular. They had a huge release,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know how strong it's going to be in the end yet. So
right.
That's why it's kind of hard to say, you know, this would be a fantastic game for somebody. Along the same lines of EverQuest 2, we don't know how it's going to wind up. You know, these two games just recently came out. They're both doing good right out the gate. World of Diablo, I mean, damn, I think I made it sound too intentional. World of Warcraft had a very strong release, and I knew they would because they had the marketing behind it.
Right.
You know, but as far as, you know, later in the game goes and whatnot, this is why it's kind of hard, I think, for people to figure out what to play right now.
I will guarantee you that if you're looking for endgame experience, probably can't go wrong with EverQuest 2.
That's exactly why I'm playing that and not World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft very well might have a great endgame experience, especially after a couple experiences.
Well, we should know any day now, since on the ninth, on the ninth day that game was out, or like the eighth day or some shit, a bunch of people were hitting 60 all of a sudden.
Right.
Which is the max level in that game, you know, I mean, they're done with it, you know, so they better crank out expansion packs or something, because I knew this was going to happen, and I just don't know how Blizzard's going to handle it is what I don't know.
But it was the first one's bread and butter, EverQuest 1's bread and butter, by far and away. I mean, there's like 80% of the expansion packs that have come out are all end-game stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you got a hardcore player, you got somebody who's like home all day, no job, I'm going to probably tell you, you know, I'm going to say that EverQuest 2 is probably a better game for that kind of a person than World of Warcraft, you know, because they're going to have more time on their hands.
However, if you like PvP in this situation,
yes,
EverQuest
there is none
2 is
yet.
Not, and they are not sure if they're going to add it.
That'll change.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah. Their official stance is we're not going to change it, but it'll change.
Well, their official stance is they're still not sure. It's a very difficult thing to balance PvP in this kind of game, and so they don't want to throw out something that's crap.
Exactly.
Because it was crap in EverQuest 1, in my personal opinion. Totally.
But World of Warcraft has got it straightened out. World of Warcraft already has PvP and a pretty cool, you know, experience for that.
Mm.
So, you know, they might be kind of into that too. You might want to kind of test the waters a little bit and see if PvP is something that they would be interested in, because it's not for me. Another reason why I did not go the World of Warcraft route. PvP to me can jump off a cliff. I don't care. You know, so that's not important to me.
If you're going to be buying an MMORPG, you really do want to test the waters, because it's
this is
each,
something that could go terribly wrong. Yeah, this could go. This isn't just like a bad game. This isn't something you'd be like, oh, this game kind of blows. I only played it once in a while or a little bit. This could go terribly wrong or perfect.
Right.
You just gotta match the game to the person, which is why we even have a fourth one, which I would consider falls back to the, maybe they haven't played a lot of these kind of games before, maybe they don't really, they're unsure of them. City of Heroes is actually an amazingly popular game, and a whole lot of fun, and it's not gonna take a monster time investment like something like EverQuest would.
Right.
You know, it's gonna be kinda quick, or Final Fantasy, you know, that's gonna take a monster time investment too, but at least that one's like, seems simplified, it seems real easy to get into and to learn how to play, and go right to the maximum fun for the majority of your playtime, rather than trying to track shit down to learn how to play the game like you
Which
do with, like, say, EverQuest.
Part.
See, I like that too, man. You know how I spent days looking around for this piece of paper right here with the friggin' poison list on it, man, trying to figure this crap out, and people doing research. But City of Heroes, a lot more action-oriented.
Yes.
Okay, a lot like World of Warcraft in the combat, I guess. You know, lots of action. But I hate to say it, a lot like EverQuest 2's combat. It's a little more Diablo-y, all these games, than I would have liked them to be, than they should be, I think.
Quickly, people need to get more into the HOs, and less...
Yeah, well, we don't want to talk about this.
We'll talk about this later.
Yes, this is, I knew this was going to happen. Okay, so City of Heroes, with this one, you know, you got superheroes. If you got somebody who's way into comic books, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, this should not even question. You should not even wonder if this guy would play this game, because, you know, your friend, you know, way into comics or whatever, and they're always talking about superheroes and whatnot. This is a surefire bet, man. This is where they can become a superhero and fly the hell around and do all that ridiculous stuff. Okay, now we've got Morrowind. This is like the MMORPG without the massively multiplayer part of it.
Right.
Okay, this is
you sit down,
huge.
Play for 5 minutes and you actually accomplish something.
It's massive. It's just not multiplayer.
Right.
This game is one hell of an RPG. If you know somebody that's knocking out RPGs left and right, you know, and they can't get enough, they're way into the fantasy type of stuff like that, you know, like, a dead giveaway. You know, you can see it. They got swords all over their house, and they're talking about dragons, and they wear clothes with, you know, enchanted land type crap on it, you know, and all this fairies and all this shit. Can't go wrong with a game like Morrowind.
You get the whole pack off.
Two expansions
and the original for like
$30.
Yeah,
it's a big gold box Game of the Year edition. I gotta buy that pack. I have to. I want it so bad. Mm. That game, it's Uber. It really is an Uber game.
You get all three of those, and they will have a large game on their hands.
It's gonna take them some time. Yeah, they're gonna get really involved. You're gonna make somebody really happy if they haven't already played it. You know, because it's been out for a while, but it is an incredibly.
When it did come out, it whipped the crap out of my computer.
Yeah, you know, I was actually kind of lucky because I had a GeForce 3 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually able to see all that nifty pixel shader stuff on the water. So it ran. It ran actually fairly well when it came out for
I couldn't get off the
PC. Holy crap.
Yeah, I had to put it away. I couldn't play.
Damn, that sucks. But it runs great now, though.
Yeah, it does.
Let's see, do we have any other... Oh, okay. Neverwinter Nights, an older game. Still has a huge following online. The single player is kind of weak.
Single player is very weak, in my opinion.
But you can download a bunch of stuff to play through, though, for
right.
free, which is not weak. As I understand it, there's some stuff that blows the doors off the single player stuff. Plus, if you got a guy who used to be a DM a lot for your DM or for your D&D games, right? This guy was the dungeon master, right? If you got a friend who's kind of way into that aspect of it, maybe more than playing it, even this is where it's at, because
right.
he can create his own world in this game and run his friends through it. You know, they can all hop on the computer.
That's where the strength of this game really shines.
Absolutely.
I haven't had a whole lot of first hand experience, but it was created with that in mind.
Yeah, and they did a good job of it too. You can actually buy the platinum package of it now with the two expansion packs. I'm not sure how much it is. I want to say about $40 though. You can't miss the box. The whole thing is like shiny.
Right.
It's awesome, but you know what, for that kind of a person, you can't go wrong. Also, let's see, we have Myst 4.
This was a good game. I liked it. You gotta be careful when you're buying this, because not a lot of people like this type of game. Generally speaking, it's for your older gaming audience.
Yeah.
Generally. Yeah.
Not all the time.
It's really good if you got a person that really likes puzzle stuff. And they really like exploring places. It'll be right up their alley.
Yeah, this will be perfect. Chances are they've got like the seventh guest, the 11th hour, that kind of stuff floating around their house. Riven, you'll know it, you know.
Right.
And this game, Myst, actually surprises me. The people that I see buying it. You know, you're picking people out of a crowd that wouldn't buy video games, and there's, you know, some older businessman type guy, and he's got a copy of Myst and EverQuest in his hand. You're like, what the hell? You know, it's really weird. It's just, yeah, but very good game. So, and how many DVDs is that?
Oh,
it's like
three.
Three? Is
I think
it?
It's I'm three.
Say four, but I don't know.
Jeez. It might be four. I can't
yeah, this
remember.
Game is huge, but apparently
it looks yeah, absolutely shocking.
Like you just want to step into your damn computer. So, yeah. But make sure they have a DVD drive. Okay.
And for the graphics, it's not all that intensive on the computer because it's pre-rendered.
Exactly, yeah. The video cards aren't rendering it right there. Exactly. We have, for the lighter crowd in that, we got The Sims 2. The puzzle type, they like screwing around, they like just, you know, fooling with stuff, you know, but not with, like, the hella puzzle end of it that where it strains your brain, but where you've got problems to solve. And you've got a bunch of different ways to do it. You know, you control a family in this game, you know, and they have issues. You know, you gotta keep them happy, so you buy entertainment for them. They gotta eat, so you get them food, and they gotta use the bathroom. You know, still a lot of problems, you know.
You're basically living real life in the computer.
And as boring as that sounds, I guarantee it's a fat game. I guarantee it's a fat game. Because even the first one was so original and so neat that it had me hooked for about a week. You know, the original one, The Sims 1. It blew my mind for that week anyway. So I'm willing to bet The Sims 2 is more of the same. And I don't know how to say this without sounding like a sexist, but apparently a lot of girls are way into this game.
It is very, very
That's not to say that there's not guys that are going to play this game. You know, and that's not to say that all girls are only going to play this game. I'm just saying, as I understand it, it seems like, you know, a lot of people's girlfriends I always hear play this game. Simply
like
put.
Mine.
You know, yeah, there you go. See? So I keep running into that an awful lot. So probably, you know, they're going to have a lot of fun with this. Also,
it's the playing house thing. From
yeah,
the,
yeah.
Younger.
Raising the whole family and being the mom, I guess. And
that's why this game is so popular. It's sold so many copies because it taps into a different demographic than
I mean,
there's
Doom
12
3.
billion different games coming out all the time for guys.
That are geared that way anyway, you know. Hot chicks on the cover with skimpy clothes and whatnot. You're not going to see too many girls
so
out
there. So saturated, whereas the female market is not nearly as saturated.
I can't remember what this game's called. Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of these, like, kind of puzzle games, you know, where you're just kind of messing around, doing different stuff, you got different problems in the park to solve, you know, not hardcore problems like Myst where you're going to be there for, you know, days,
right.
But fun little simple problems that aren't going to take you very long, and you actually get somewhere by making more money, and, you know, you can get pretty involved in getting your people in your amusement park there.
You can also create your own roller coasters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you got, like, the coaster cam, and you can watch it, you know, like, in first-person view flying around. It's got a lot of cool stuff for what it is.
Right.
Which is something I don't care to play, but, you know.
Lots of people do.
Lots of people do, yeah. Definitely got mainstream written all over it, you know. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to sell quite a lot of copies, and I'm going to have to enforce our time random game rule. Now, for those of you who don't know, when it's come, we've got a rule here for when you're going out to go buy Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. Or we kind of apply to other games, you know, yeah, Tycoon games, but it also might apply to, like, say, The Sims 2, if you get dragged into a store, you know, and you gotta go buy it for somebody or whatever, you know. This is the general rule of thumb. If you look at the time on an analog watch, right, so you know that it's
3 o'clock.
You know, say 3 o'clock, okay. You're gonna, when you go there and you find the game, you find Roller Coaster Tycoon. It's 3 o'clock. Instead of buying that, you buy the game directly to the right of it, because at 3 o'clock, the hand will point to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You almost can never go wrong.
You'll get a better game.
Right? Yes.
And if it happens to be another game like that, like Roller Coaster Tycoon,
the rule still applies.
You just move through it.
Exactly. The rule still applies. You keep moving until anything Tycoon is over with. And then that's where you're going to settle.
If you hit the edge of a shelf,
you roll around.
Back,
yes. Exactly. Okay, this is the general rule of thumb. And it does work. It does work. What was it that when you set out to buy The Sims?
StarCraft.
What the hell? That you cannot go wrong with
StarCraft.
I had
to go through another game that was crap, but.
Okay. That's fine. I'm not, you know, okay, you know, from tycoon to tycoon to tycoon to StarCraft, you're better off. And the thing is it's funny because you look at the shelves and they have like the kiddie games. So you're not going to get like a shitball game. They have the kiddie games off to the side, so it's not going to be you in with the regular games.
Right.
Then they might have, but in there, they have really cool stuff. Like they'll have like a Pac-Man set and Tetris and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So there's good games in there too. But they put the tycoon game square in the middle of Doom and Half-Life and fucking all this
always.
Other stuff. Always. As if it's the same market. And it's not. Which is why this system works so well. And we need to, like, go out and copyright or trademark this or something.
We do.
And get, like, a little, I don't know, some kind of a thing. And we need to get this put in stores that goes on the top of the shelf, right? Or wherever IV is with the shelf. And it's just a clock. And it says, find your tycoon game and then buy the game that's at this angle. God, that'd be such a great idea.
I don't think Maxis would be too proud of us.
I don't think so either, but are they the ones that put out those tycoon games?
They put out a lot of that crap.
Really?
Yeah.
I was pretty sure this was an Electronic Arts child.
Well, I think Tycoon is.
Oh, yes, huh. And they're, yeah, that's right. But
Maxis does that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, but they're not all bad. Like, because on our list now is SimCity 4.
Right.
Or 3, or whichever the hell the fat one was. I can't remember now. But, same idea. You're solving all these, you know, different little problems and puzzles and whatnot, but good fun. And this one I can actually really get behind. I'm like, Save the Sims 2, which I'm sure is actually good, and Roller Coaster Tycoon, which I just don't care for. But this I can get behind. Sim City is a blast. Okay, this is a lot of fun.
I preferred the first one because the new ones have a little bit too much micromanaging for my taste.
I liked the one for the Super Nintendo.
2000?
No, that wasn't 2000. 2000 was on the PC, and that one was the bomb, too. But the one with Super Nintendo was a modified SimCity 1 on the PC, and it was cool.
Oh, right, yeah, that's the one I played.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Awesome. 2000 was pretty cool.
There was enough to do that you were always doing something.
Yeah, and they
you weren't, like micromanaging.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you had to worry about transportation and whatnot, but you didn't have to worry about, like, the name of each building.
Yeah.
You know, what that building did. And as long as you had a grocery store on every corner and this and that.
Or what level of commerce population this zone is.
They took care of a lot for you, but they had events. The Nintendo version, the Super Nintendo version had events. Shit would happen. You know, and you had that little dude. Like the
Bowser would come running through.
You had that too. But you had that little dude, the little guy with the green hair and the big nose and whatnot. Yeah.
Said, hey, this is going wrong.
Yeah. You know, and then he would give you prizes though. You could get like a landfill or a casino or whatever, you know.
Good stuff.
That was a good game. Okay, now, we've got the,
start.
Holy crap. we could just go on. We've got that. You know what? And I think I got a new version of Audacity. This one said something about fixing a loop crash thing like we have earlier. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. And what else have we got for the war? We got some war games here. Now, if you do not own Warcraft 3, you need to go out and buy this. I know a gentleman who has never played a computer game in his life. He went out and he bought Warcraft 3 the other day. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
I bet he loved the crap out of it.
You haven't talked to him since then, really, like about it. Anyway, he's been kind of stressed and whatnot. But
if the person you're buying this for has any interest in any aspect of this genre,
this is the game.
This is the game because it is awesome.
And I'm gonna have to say that I would prefer Warcraft 3. As old as it is, you can still get an expansion pack for it. They have like a whole battle chest version you can get now for pretty cheap. It's probably like $30 now. Even I'm gonna have to say that Warcraft 3 is still a better game than the recent one. Warhammer 40K Dawn of War, which is a fantastic game. But I think the reason I like Warcraft 3 better is for two reasons. One, Blizzard has refined this process to an art. Mm-hmm. They know how to make the perfect controls and a solid play experience, really. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I like the swords and sorcery stuff over the laser guns and drones and robots.
Right.
So, you know, but if you got a guy who's into that kind of stuff, Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War. Solid game. Real-time strategy, you know, you get to control huge armies and just dominate and just destroy and kill everything.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Rise of Nations. Another solid one. I know we know a few people that have actually been hooked on that game for quite a bit. And Rome Total War. Really big, big popular games. You can't go wrong.
Right.
I would recommend any one of those games. Look at your budget and then look at the type of gamer, too. You know, I mean, if they're more into the history type of stuff, You know, Rome Total War is a pretty good, solid bet.
Right.
You know, you're not going to want to hook somebody up that's all about history with, you know, Warhammer 40K. Okay, you're not going to want to do that. So try to feel them out. But there's a couple different games right there, you know, to get the perfect game present for your friend. Now, we move on to Xbox games. Xbox has relatively a low number of titles that it seems like everybody complains about how so few games they have, and yet I've got a fairly solid list sitting right here in front of me, as long as our PS2 list, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, of games out that you cannot go
Although, off. A lot of those are the multi-consoles.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, you marked the list. A ton of them are. So, of course, Halo.
Right.
You know, anybody that's going to like a shooter game... Halo 1 or 2. They're gonna be, I'm gonna say get them 2 though, because you can play it on Xbox Live, and that's gonna be where everybody's at. Halo 1 has had its, you know, heyday. Just move on to Halo 2. Console gamers, you gotta kinda push them through a little faster, it seems like. You gotta keep a little bit more on the new end.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be computer gamers can stay back, cause the game, I don't know if it was just so good, or maybe the hardware's lacking on that machine or what, but they can stick with the game for a lot longer, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And Fable. Fable, fantastic.
Awesome game.
For, you know, a good solid 10-hour. But it's funny, though, because it's like a somewhere between 10 to 50-hour experience. It's not like 10 to 15 hours. It's 10 to 50.
Yeah.
Because you can do a lot of shit in this, but most people are going to blow right through it. Depends on how many times you play it through, though. But,
It definitely has enough replay value to do it a second time.
Absolutely does. And I was actually really looking to play it through 3 times, because I wanted to play it like a paladin type, and then a mage type, and then my thiefy type guy, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but again, a solid Xbox game. You kind of got to feel the guy out, though. If he blows through RPGs, probably not a good idea. He's going to be done with it in one day. Yeah. But if it's somebody who likes that kind of stuff...
I took it in 2, I think.
You know, yeah, it's just not... mine was 11 hours, when I was, 10 or 11 hours when I was done, so... It's just not very long. But if they like to play the same game over and over, you know, if you're buying a game for somebody that doesn't have a lot of games... This isn't too bad, you know, because they can play it through so many different times, so many different ways. It's not a bad idea at all. Everybody loves platformers, you know, running around, jumping puzzles, seeing the coolest stuff that the, you know, the artists can think up and the level designers. Prince of Persia 1 and 2. What was it called? Sands of Time
or Warrior Within?
Warrior Within. You know,
I would say, depending on what your person is more into, if he's more into the action aspect of the game, or if he's into more the puzzle aspect of the game, but depending on if you want to get 1 or 2. I think 1 is a far superior game. 2 is good, don't get me wrong.
But 2 is more action-y, right?
2 is a little more action-y.
1 is a little more puzzle-y.
Right.
Okay.
It's either way, it is an incredibly fun experience. I was playing through 1... I never had a point where I was, like, bored with the game, or I was always, oh, this is just incredible.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Okay. Now, see, I'm having trouble with this one. Okay, The Bard's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
This is a touchy one because it's not a serious, hardcore, action RPG type of game. It's just not there. There's not, great gameplay elements. There's just not a lot of, you know, the things that you would almost expect. Like when you were to play... say Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance 1 or 2, or Dungeons & Dragons Heroes. You know, people are going to love that game if they like the action style, you know, of an RPG type. You know, like something like Diablo. If you got a friend like that, those games you can't go wrong with. The Bard's Tale, you almost can't go wrong with. They got to have a really good sense of humor about it. They got to really enjoy the Monty Python's Holy Grail. They got to have, you know, look at their DVD collection. Do they have that? They're going to like this. Do they have Army of Darkness in there? They're going to like this. You know, any kind of Evil Dead movie. You know, they're going to like this game, okay? So you got to really make sure that you're not buying this for the wrong type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Just like all these, but I mean, there's a few that really stand out, though. Silent Hill 4. Good for the guys like getting creeped out. This is, it's a recent release, brand new, so, you know, a lot of people are going to be happy to get this game in their stocking or whatever. We've got Burnout 3. One hell of a racing game, but it's more on the action-y side.
Right.
So,
arcade style.
Yeah, if you've got a simulation fan, like a racing simulation fan, this is probably not where they want to be, but NASCAR 2005 might want to be where they're at, because I have incredible fun with that, and I'm not a huge racing fan, and those two racing games blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't even like racing games. Another really popular one is Project Gotham Racing 1 and 2. Okay,
talking. It's kind of cool because you get points for doing the slides.
Yeah, yeah. There's like extra shit to do while you're racing around. It looks incredible. And there's even levels that you can download. There's you know, if you have Xbox Live, it's like $5 and you get like the Long Beach pack and you get like 5 new courses or something. So that's cool. Something to think about too. Xbox users, you know, if they got broadband, you might want to get an Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. That is really cool. Take a look at their games, though. Make sure they have some live-compatible games that they can use right now. They can hop online, download some free content, play some games with some friends. Hell, get them Halo and a headset thing. Right. You know, get them the Xbox Live pack. Not, you know, or Halo 2, I'm sorry.
Right.
Gotta get Halo 2 because Halo 1 will not go on Xbox Live. Sports fans, you've got anything in a white box that's got the little Electronic Arts logo on it.
Okay, yeah.
It's a pretty good bet. However, if you're going for football, I highly urge you to take a look at NFL, ESPN NFL 2K5 instead of a Madden game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they had a fantastic game here. A lot of people like it better. Some people are stuck on Madden. I suspect a lot of that's because it's Madden.
Right, the name goes a long way.
It does. So, and now,
and if you're worried about that, you might want to just go with Madden.
Yeah, particularly if you're trying to buy for, I would say, a younger person, somebody who's probably still worried about his image with his peers,
mm-hmm.
they're going to want a PlayStation over anything else ever because everybody else has one. They're going to want Madden over anything else because
it's Madden.
It's Madden. That's what everybody's playing. They're not playing a game that's different. They're playing Madden. You know, whether or not one or the other is better, you know, that's to be debated. But as far as image goes, you got to kind of, you know, you got to get them what they want because other people have it. This is why shit sells so well during Christmas time. It sucks. So, we go to Ninja Gaiden.
Awesome game.
One hell of an action, slice-em-up, you know, this game's the shit, okay? That's a pretty awesome game. It looks fucking incredible, too. Plus, there's a bunch of downloadable crap on Xbox Live, too.
Mm-hmm. Several things.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, if you got somebody who wants the hardcore action game that's going to kick their ass, you know, they're always talking about how great they are, set them down with this for a while. let them get knocked around for a while and see if they're still up on that horseway up there, you know. Let's see how they do. And Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2.
Right.
I understand that these are amazing RPGs, particularly for Star Wars fans.
I played the first one. I have not played the second one. I hear it's basically more of the same. But they are not the end-all be-all that a lot of people say they are. However, they are very good RPGs, and if you have a Star Wars fan, this is the game to get.
Yeah, this is on the PC and on the Xbox, so whatever they, you know, would be
interested
in.
Because it is a very solid RPG, and if it's a Star Wars fan, you cannot go wrong.
This one, I was almost going to put on the PlayStation list, and I wound up putting it on the Xbox list. And if there was a Dreamcast list, I would have put it on that. It was just basically I randomly put it on a page, apparently. The Tony Hawk series.
Mm.
These are actually good fun. The problem is they're if one is just like the other one, it seems like.
Well, you know, the new ones, the
they have more
ones,
story, and they've got, you know.
It's a little different. You know.
I say get the Tony Hawk 2X for the Xbox. That was Tony Hawk 1 and 2, and they were badass. The new ones, I mean, they add a new move here and there, but I don't know. The new ones of the Underground series, yeah, probably a good bet. If you're going to buy somebody something.
It's got a lot of GTA influence. There's even some driving in Underground 1.
Oh, boy.
I don't know about Underground 2, but.
Huh, it's probably hitching onto the back of the car, though, right?
No, you do that, but you actually also drive in certain
missions. Alright.
And it's mission-based, and.
And believe it or not, a lot of different people. Yeah. Mission-based. I remember they changed that, I think, in 3 or 4. One of them, you all of a sudden had people you would talk to in the place. I can't remember if it's 3 or 4. It might have been 4. And then you would get a mission from the person without a time limit. Before, you would pick the mission before you went in, you know. But I would probably say your best bet is really probably just going with the latest one, though. I mean, they're all the same. If somebody doesn't have it, you know, you may as well just get the latest one. But they're actually a whole lot of fun. And you would think, you know, oh, well, I'm not into skateboarding and blah, blah, blah. Hey, I'm not into skateboarding, okay? And I've played the crap out of this. You know, I got Hunter and I, as a matter of fact, played this way more than we should have. Splinter Cell, though. Splinter Cell 1 and 2, what's that, Pandora Tomorrow, or fucking whatever the hell it's called.
I think it's just Splinter Cell, but I'm not
popular. I really don't know, but they're really good, really popular for that kind of stealth action type of stuff for the Xbox. A lot of people like it a whole lot. It was an exclusive for a while, so they might have had the first one, you know, on the Xbox only or whatever, and then got the PS2 version later. I would say that the Xbox version is probably a safer bet if they have an Xbox, to go with that one, only because it came out for it originally. Rainbow Six 3, and then they made a Rainbow Six 3 Black Arrow. Again, this falls into the category of the guy that likes shooting up the stuff, but the realism of it. Mm. And this one puts you in control.
This is also squad-based.
Yes,
right?
It puts you in control of a squad of guys rather than just yourself, so it's not one man versus the world. It's your group set in to do specific missions.
And you give them orders, and they carry them out.
Yeah, and they do pretty good, too. They really do pretty good on those orders and whatnot.
But you are a dude with a gun.
Yeah, yeah, you just happen to have to control the dudes also. Yeah, but that's a pretty solid game, you know, for that type of player. Mm-hmm. Okay, definitely can't go wrong if that's the kind of person you're shopping for. Look into the Rainbow Six 3 series. If you're into hot chicks, you've got Dead or Alive Ultimate,
Jiggly
which is out. The Jigglies. Yes, this is a fighting game. At least that's what they market it under. It should be under pornography. Make sure you're getting this for somebody of a certain age.
Right.
The skimpy clothing and really hot chicks, you know, and if you don't want, you know, your younger kids or whoever you're shopping for playing a game where it might be a little too risque for them, you know, I mean, it's a fighting game. I mean, they're just beating the crap out of each other. And they don't show anything that you shouldn't show, but they sure get close. And they sure do a good job. But Ultimate is like redone version of like Dead or Alive 2, and they got like the original one on there with live capabilities. And in fact, I hate to say this and admit to this, but I've been thinking about picking it up myself. I know, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know.
I do the same thing with some games. I know I shouldn't, but I want to anyway.
It's so tempting though, you know? Kasumi's hot, man. Okay. Panzer Dragoon Orta. You can pick this up probably for 20 or 30 bucks now. This is an on-rails shooter game. This is, you're flying a dragon around, mowing stuff down, right? The dragon mostly steers itself. You have a little bit of control to dodge some stuff, but it mostly just takes you through the levels. Incredible fun. If you just, you know, somebody hardcore into action games just blowing stuff up. I mean, and it's hard too. It is not easy. Mm-hmm. With tons of unlockable stuff too. Even one of the original ones on there. I think the original Panzer Dragoon is on there, an old Saturn game. That's an unlockable. A fantastic, fantastic game. I really can't say enough good because I love that game. And then we mentioned Full Spectrum Warrior earlier. It's also on the Xbox. That squad-based military type. And Counter-Strike. You know, along the same lines, you know, if they're into that realistic combat, you know, where you're one guy and you got real guns and whatnot, Counter-Strike is on the Xbox, and it's a pretty safe bet. You can use the headset to communicate with people over Xbox Live.
Which does have its advantages.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But if you're buying for someone that's really into FPSs and they have a decent computer, you should probably think about getting them the computer version.
Get Half-Life 2, which comes with Counter-Strike Source instead. Absolutely.
NASCAR, well, at the very minimum, Half-Life.
Well, yeah, they could still, yeah, because the original one's still...
box, which
is... Yeah, the Platinum Pack or whatever. Yeah, it's got, like, all kinds of Half-Life stuff and all the expansions and Counter-Strike.
Right.
NASCAR 2005, Chase for the Cup. I'm not a big racing fan, but this game for the Xbox is incredibly fun. Incredibly fun. Four-player split-screen and whatnot, too. You know, you got some friends that want to have a good race. This is a lot of fun, you know. And the best part is, I think, the wrecks, just like it is on TV, so keep that in mind.
Right.
Crimson Skies for the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Flying around a plane, you got all these missions and stuff you got to do. Really cool controls, great graphics. You're shooting up stuff. You got missiles and whatever.
Good arcade flying action.
And if you find the Xbox Live kit... If you look at the right place in the store, you'll find a box set, you know, for like the year subscription for 50 bucks. Comes with the communicator and the headset and all that crap, and it comes with Crimson Skies, right? So you can't go wrong with something like that. If you're going to go get somebody the Xbox Live set, you may as well get a game with it and then buy them something that you know they're going to love.
Right.
This will at least be one more game added to their inventory. Here's one that come out is for everything. And we're pretty sure the Xbox One is the way to go. Beyond Good and Evil. Buy this game.
It is great. It flew under the radar. It's a little on the old side. You can get it real cheap, but it is a solid, fun game. If the person you're buying for likes the Zelda, that type of game, the action with puzzles and stuff like that, this, you cannot go wrong. It was awesome.
And we would steer clear of the PC version, though, only because of the controls.
The controls blow, and there is no gamepad.
Support. Yeah. So if they got a console, any console, get that game, Beyond Good and Evil. I'm going to go ahead and put Guilty Gear X2 Reload the Midnight Carnival on the Xbox list. Okay, probably the best fighting game going for it. I would like to say that crown is with Street Fighter, but it's not. Or I would like to say Capcom versus SNK2, which is a solid, solid fighter you can play on live, but it's just not where it's at. It's just not quite perfection like it used to be. It's just not quite right. Guilty Gear X2, it's like $20. Or maybe $30, I think. Still, you got a fighting game fan in the house, you owe it to them to buy this game, okay, for them. Spider-Man 2.
This was a cool game. I only got to play a little demo thing in a store, but I had a blast shooting the webs around.
Swinging around the town. Yeah. You had full control. It's like, you know, a big city. You just fly around, and then you run across, like, you know, random superhero stuff. This goes back to the guy that you might buy the MMORPG for, City of Heroes. You know, look into Spider-Man 2. You know, if they're big into comics and stuff like that, you know, they own the Punisher and the Hulk and the Spider-Man and the Daredevil movies, you know. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to like Spider-Man 2 an awful lot, you know. And then there's one that I wanted to put on the list that Cobard doesn't think deserves the list. But I'm going to highly recommend this game. You're going to pick it up for $20 now. It's Toe Jam and Earl 3. This game is the shit. I overlooked the first time I played it, and I went back, and I fell in love with it. It's so much fun. For a platformer, you like running around doing just stupid shit, just having a good time. You know, this is a fantastic game. It really is a whole lot of fun. A bunch of different characters. You can download, like, 2 levels and 3 extra guys on Xbox Live. A solid platform experience. It's a lot of fun. It's not perfect, and it's not up to, like, I'll say, like, most of today's, say, standards. You know, you look at something like some of the PS2 ones we're gonna get into, it's not quite of the same caliber, but it is on its own level. Mm-hmm. It's different, you know, and different is not a bad thing, and in this case, it's a very good thing.
Originality goes far, as long as it's done well enough.
Your aliens from the planet Funkotron sent to go find the last discs of funk or whatever, I mean, come on, you know? It is a fantastic game. It's a lot of fun with sweet controls and a very decent camera and a lot of cool kooky weird shit to keep you interested. It really is really a lot of fun. Okay, so I'm gonna put that with buy that game. You know, you gotta get it. Somebody's gonna love it. They're gonna be real happy. Let's move on to the PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. What do you think of when you say the words PlayStation? Grand Theft Auto, perhaps. Yeah. There's a solid bet. You know, you can't go wrong. But again, watch out for those younger gamers. You're not going to want to buy Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, or Grand Theft Auto San Andreas for somebody that's like 14 years old.
Right.
It's a rated mature for a reason.
There's lots of blood, there's lots of stealing stuff, there's lots of
questionable content.
Whores.
Whores, yeah. All right. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in there, a lot of bad, bad language. This is the stuff that you would slap your kid if you heard him saying, probably. Okay, and if you don't, well, it might be time to call Child Protective Services. Metal Gear Solid. All right, Metal Gear Solid 2, you can pick up like $20. A good, solid game. But Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, is out now. Mm. And it is, you heard the review last week.
Right.
And I've heard nothing but shining reviews of this kind of game. This falls into probably the, like, close to $50 game under our rating category. This is something else. Played what little of it I have myself, and I was floored. And as Rybo put it, this is an event. Okay, this isn't a game. This is an event. You need to sit down and pay attention and play this game. This falls into this espionage type, you know, this is going to be in that category. Mm. So you're going to find somebody who likes sneaking around. Maybe you're going to look at buying Thief 3 for them for the PC. If they have a PlayStation, chances are they're going to like Metal Gear Solid 3 an awful lot.
Or the Pandora Tomorrow, Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell.
It's the same type of game.
Yeah. You're going to like that a lot, too. I actually like that a whole lot less than Metal Gear Solid. I don't really care for the Splinter Cell series. But racing fans will enjoy Gran Turismo 3. And Gran Turismo 4, the bastards, is just not out yet, and it should be. So you might want to hold off on that.
Right. And anyone who likes that type of game and has a PlayStation 2,
probably
by now already has Gran Turismo.
Yeah, so.
But if they don't, if they somehow missed it or something, and they really like racing games, and they're really into cars, that's a good bet.
I've got a 3-pack and a 4-pack coming up. Check this out. For RPG fans that like single-player RPGs and can't stand being online, okay? Mm-hmm. You want that massively massive game feel, that epic huge game feel, or you really want the MMORPG feel without the idiots, the Dot Hack series. They're like $20 for like the first three each now. Like you got they're $20 for 1, 2, and 3, and I think part 4 is probably 40 or 50 still now. But it's a 4-part series, not the longest games, but a whole lot of fun. Mm. You know, good for those RPG fans that like a lot of the action, but still a lot of the console RPG feel to it. Mm. You know, lots of the pausing the game to use the menus real quick and whatnot, you know, and having a party to control of a couple dudes. Solid games. Plus, they come with little anime movies that are like an hour long or something shit like that, or maybe 90 minutes even, that tells the story even more. Heavy story in this, so if you got someone that likes to get into it, that's a good bet. And here's, I got a 3-pack because I can't decide which one's the best. Strategy RPG fans, guys who played and are probably still playing something as fun as Final Fantasy Tactics, are going to like to play Disgaea, Phantom Brave, or La Pucelle Tactics. Any one of those should be a hit with this person. Mm-hmm. You know, if they've been playing Final Fantasy Tactics Advance on their Game Boy for the last couple months, try to get them this. Mm-hmm. If they've got a PS2, they're going to fall in love with it. This is some shit here. These are some good games. Soul Reaver.
Soul Reaver, I love the hell out of. It's, again, along the lines of Zelda. You have that action and puzzle aspect to it, the adventure type of game. Real solid storyline, and just a whole lot of fun. The new one, Vengeance, or something like that, where you play both Cain and Soul Reaver, they tried to make it more difficult by screwing with the camera, is how it feels. The camera's screwed up, and it's like they did it on purpose to make it more difficult, and it's just more frustrating than it is fun. But Soul Reaver 2 is a fantastic game. If they like that type of game, it's old. You pick it up nice and cheap, and it's solid.
Street Fighter Anniversary Edition. This is coming out for the Xbox pretty soon. The PS2 version's pretty good. I mean, if you like 2D fighters, this will take you back to your roots. Plus, it's got Street Fighter 3 on it. It's got every version of Street Fighter 2 on it. Mm-hmm. The Street Fighter 3 one's the one with all like the last one they did, whatever it was called. Third Strike or whatever the hell it was. I can't remember. But and it's got the movie on it too, the animated one, that Street Fighter movie. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty good, you know, bang for your buck at $20. The Xbox version though is supposed to be have live capabilities, mm-hmm. which the PlayStation 2 version, you got to sit here with your buddies and throw controllers at each other because you're pissed you lost the round. But still, you know, this is Street Fighter. This is, you know, you got a fighting fan who likes 2D fighters. This is where it's at. Okay, you get this and you get them Guilty Gear. There's a ton of Guilty Gear games for the PS2. You know, if they don't have a PS2 and they got an Xbox, you can get that Guilty Gear X2 Reload, and Street Fighter Anniversary Edition should be out, I think, in January, maybe February. Mm-hmm. Castlevania, Lament of Innocence. This is a, you know, I want to say it reminds me of Maximo a lot, like where you, a platformer where it's a lot of combat, but very well animated. Mm-hmm. Great music, too, in this game. You run around, if you've played the Castlevania series, you kind of know what to expect, but now it's 3D, and it's ramped up quite a bit. It's pretty action-y and a lot of fun button mashing. Seems like it gets influenced from Devil May Cry, which is another good one for the PlayStation 2. They got Devil May Cry, you can get like a platinum version for like $20. On the new one, Devil May Cry 3 should be out pretty soon, I think. Mm-hmm. I actually played the demo, and Jesus Christ, let me tell you, man, your thumb hurts in like 10 minutes. I mean, you're just wailing on those keys.
There's a good time had by all with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. Very well animated, too. Speaking of good animation, Blood Rain 2. They did a good job on her. The rest of the game could use, I think, a little polish. Mm. You know, they did a pretty good job on her model, anyway. She doesn't quite feel as loose as you'd expect. Like, she's a little stiff walking around and turning it. But they did a good job. It looks pretty good. It plays well. You know, it's actually a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Blood Rain 2 out for all kinds of shit, I think. I think it's out for everything except for the PC, right? Yeah, all the consoles. Yeah. Probably a pretty good bet. It really is a lot of fun if you got somebody who likes those action platformer type games, you're walking around, especially maybe the older audience to go with the Blood Rain game.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, whatever the hell else. Let's go with the Jak and Daxter series. Jak and Daxter, Jak 2, and Jak 3.
Right. Solid platforming game.
Except for 2.
So. not a big fan of 2, personally, but a lot of people are. It's, you got a lot of guns and stuff like that. It's actually a lot like Ratchet and Clank now. Where the first one, you didn't have any guns. It was more standard platforming fare. You used your hands and whatnot. But lots of cool moves, lots of cool vehicles and different things.
Big-ass levels, lots of running around exploring shit, lots of collection stuff. Right. Go here, do this, get 20 of those. Yeah, but there is a lot of people that like those games a lot, you know.
It's solid fun.
It is. They're pretty good types of games, you know, and it's almost hard to screw them up. It usually, the screw up with these seems to always be the camera and the controls for me.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be that's where they always drop the ball in these kind of games. I mean, the content itself is good, and they should be better games, but they always seem to botch the camera and the controls.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hear somebody complaining about that a lot, you gotta really, really look into some deep reviews on these games to find out how those cameras and those controls work, or get a demo or something.
Right.
You know, check those out first. And then you mentioned, Ratchet and Clank. They've got a couple of those out too.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you got somebody who's hooked on those kind of platformers. You can't go wrong. Get them this game. You know, get them one of the series. Find out which ones they don't have. They probably have a few of these, but not maybe the latest ones. Maybe they even have one and three, and they miss number two.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it up for them. You know, they will probably appreciate it. Probably something they really like. The ones that I really like would be the Sly Cooper series. Sly mm-hmm. Cooper 1 and Sly Cooper 2, Band of Thieves. I would recommend that above them all, but that's only because I feel that they did a perfect job on it, and the thiefiness of it, the stealth part of it, really got me hooked. It was cool. You didn't have guns and crap like that either. You just had, some cool, little moves, and you had a cane to thwack them with, and then the second one, you got Murray to punch people, and you got bombs that you could drop with a Bentley in the second one, it's amazing. Great animation, great story, a lot of fun.
Stuff.
Yeah. And this, when I say PlayStation, this is what I first think of. It's not Grand Theft Auto, but that was top of the list. I think of Final Fantasy.
Yeah?
Final Fantasy, if you heavy RPG players, probably gonna enjoy a Final Fantasy game. Probably. I don't know what to say about them anymore because I don't like them. I think they went the wrong route. They took out the play and added video.
So, a lot of people like it that way.
But a lot,
And I do like the video. I think it's great they had the video.
That's but the problem being is that ends up being the best part of it.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion. But if you know somebody that's got all the Final Fantasies, for their PS1 and maybe only one of them for the PS2, you know what to get them. Look at the Final Fantasy 9 and Final Fantasy 10, something like that. Final Fantasy 11 is also out for the PS2, but it's not a single player game. And 10 too, the action platformer.
9 is actually a PlayStation 1 game.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Holy crap, I was convinced that was a PS2 game. I did not know that.
Wow. Nine was the final.
Oh man, Final Fantasy fans must be losing their minds. Then. They must be freaking out. I mean, they didn't get their usual three games per year or whatever,
Well, they got 10 and 10-2, and then 11. 12 will be out.
Yeah, but 11 doesn't do it for a lot of them because it's the MMORPG where you got to pay to play. But
12 will be out soon.
Yeah, and that'll something to look forward to for them.
But not before Christmas.
Yeah, no, he's not gonna make it for Christmas. The Madden series seems to be the bread and butter for the PlayStation, so I'll mention that again here. You're into the football games, getting Madden sports games. You're looking at Electronic Arts games, basically. You'll see a white box with some dude on the cover that I don't know his name, and you probably do. And it's going to be
2005.
Yes, 2005. It'll say 2005. These are the exception to the rule of you're usually better off getting the newer one with what we've basically been going through is the newest games. It's hard to recommend a really old game because they probably already have it. Well, with these, there is no getting the old game. You do not go buy somebody the 2003 Madden or whatever. Yeah. They're going to be pissed. You're going to get them the 2005 of the sports title because you're going to want the new rosters and they're going to want to be on top of it. Or maybe their favorite player isn't going to be in the older version and they're not on the right team. Mm-hmm. So you got to make sure that you pay attention to that. That ICO game, or ICO, whatever the hell it is, you can't hear enough good about that game.
Very old, though.
Got me what it is, but, I keep hearing about this friggin' game. I want to check it out. You'll see it there. It is pretty old. As is Suikoden 3 and Xenosaga, two of the best RPGs on the PlayStation 2, I feel, and two of the best RPGs, single-player RPGs, I've played in a long time. You can pick them both up now, I think, for $20, assuming you can find Suikoden 3. You can find Xenosagas around. Suikoden 3, I have never seen one since the day I bought one, unless it's been on a used rack.
Well, yeah.
And even then, it's kind of rare. Still kind of rare to see it. So, Suikoden 4 and Xenosaga 2 should be out pretty soon, but again, this is going to be a next year thing. They're not going to make it in time for Christmas. RPG fans, though, pay attention to what they like. You know, one of these is fantasy. One of these is magic and swords and dragons and shit. One of these, Xenosaga, is sci-fi, out in space, with robots and starships and laser guns. Okay, so you know
you're... Although even if you're not all into the sci-fi, you still
like
can't
me,
go wrong.
Exactly, because I love Xenosaga. That game. That game messed me up. I mean, there was a point where I was, like, in terror, in complete fear, and then there's a point where I was, like, almost crying. Okay, that's how you know it's a good game, all right? The SSX series, actually a lot of fun for the extreme sports crowd. Mm-hmm. Likes the snowboarding stuff. There's SSX 3 out now for, I'm pretty sure, every console. Maybe,
I think so.
Maybe not on the GameCube, but whatever. We'll get to them later. I know this is out for the PS2. You know, you got somebody, especially they like sports games. The extreme sports games, you know.
Right.
And if you live in an area where there's snow, and your buddy skis a lot or snowboards a lot, you should not question getting a snowboard game for them in their PS2.
Right.
Katamari Damacy. I could not tell you the type of gamer that's going to want this game because I can't nail it down. Almost anybody will like this game. It is just pure, unadulterated fun. Rolling this big... I don't want to describe it because you're not going to buy it because you're going to say, oh, they won't like that. I'm going to tell you that it's called Katamari Damacy. It's a very plain-looking box. It's just kind of blue, got some weird symbol on the top, says Katamari Damacy, and it's got this ball of stuff on the bottom, and you don't know what it is. It's like $20, though. And I guarantee the kind of person that's playing something like maybe The Sims, Tetris, Roller Coaster Tycoon... is gonna like it. Myst, even. Lots of puzzle type stuff in this game. But it's a little on the weird side, but it's a lot of fun though.
It's cause it's Japanese.
Yeah. This is
very Japanese.
One of the few that snuck out, you know. One of the ones that they probably shouldn't have released cause it was a little on the weird side, you know. But there it is. Shooter fans. Shooting games, right? Now, on the Xbox, we've got something heavy. We've got, you know, Panzer Dragoon Orta. On this, we don't have anything that's like, heavy 3D, I think it falls really well into this category, but we've got some ass-kicking 2D ones. You've got R-Type Final, mm-hmm. right? Like $20. Gradius 5, I think that's $30 maybe? And then you've got Contra, Shattered Soldier, okay? You got somebody who likes playing those old side-scrolling shooter games, or you know, dude, they're gonna die.
Yeah.
These are the games to get them, because they're amazingly fun, and they're just like they were back then, with fatter graphics and better sound and more explosions and whatnot. Incredible fun. Can't go wrong for shooting game. Soul Calibur 2. Very strong fighting game. Mm-hmm. I wanted to put this on the Xbox list, because I feel it's the superior version, but whatever, it somehow it wound up on the PS2 list. You got a special guy. And Kobar wanted it on the GameCube one, because Link is in there, you know. Yeah. Each one has a special guy. You got Spawn, Heihachi for the PS2, Spawn for the Xbox, and Link, which is, debatably the coolest one of the three.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I think the Xbox one looks a little better and probably has some better sound, so, and better
and
controls.
I hear Spawn is...
Spawn is uber.
Yeah.
Champions of Norrath, and the new one, Return to Norrath, or Return to Arms, or whatever the hell it's called, that should be out soon. This is the action RPG style, you know, you're buying somebody something like Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. Look at this one, because it's beating those. I feel it was better than those. Still solid games, and it's like $20 now, okay? They're gonna love it, they're gonna have hours of fun.
It's good stuff.
Quite replayable. Shadow Hearts Covenant, RPG, some really cool battle system. Very strange game, though. Very strange.
Stranger than the first one?
I don't think so. I think it's just that strange. But I keep hearing very strange things, but good for RPG fans, especially the eccentric RPG fans. Okay, this is the guy that probably imports a lot of games, right?
Right.
I would look at that. SOCOM Navy SEALs 2 for the PS2. Get them a headset with it. They're going to want to talk to their friends. Get them the network adapter if they don't have it, you know. They're going to want to play online with their friends. You can talk to your squad and everything.
Mm.
A very good first-person shooter for the PlayStation 2, but still... Far Cry.
And I believe, although I don't know this for sure, I believe it has a keyboard mouse compatibility.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Because the PlayStation 2 has the two USB ports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I believe that it has a keyboard mouse capability.
Well, that would certainly help it. But it's still a far cry, I think, from any of the PC games. So.
Right.
Moving on to the GameCube. This should be a pretty quick list, because I think everybody knows most of the games
right.
that are out, and they're probably made by Nintendo. But they are incredibly awesome games. You've got Metroid Prime 1 and 2. Okay, Metroid Prime 1, they have a pack where you can get the GameCube with Metroid in it.
Yeah.
You'll notice the box. It's way different.
I think the GameCube itself is painted differently.
Maybe. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool. And then the second one, Metroid Prime Echoes, just came out. Shooter fans are going to like it. The control style is a little bit different, though, so you might have to...
It's also not all that much a shooter. It's kind of its own thing.
But it is first-person style where you're not shooting a lot, but lots of, like, puzzles and backtracking and examining and creeping around, like, you know, like, bases or some shit on planets. And it's kind of different.
But a lot of people love the absolute hell out of it.
Yeah, so it is hugely popular. You almost can't go wrong. Mm. Beautiful Joe 1 and 2. That's out for the GameCube now.
Good stuff. Solid beat 'em up
side scroller, right? Yeah. You don't see a whole lot of those these days, you know, and you got the friend that's whining and crying about, you know, the glory days of the 2D. Well, get him this, okay? Mm. Beautiful Joe 1 or 2. Here's a game. Okay, the next one. There's a disclaimer on. Because we can't highly recommend this game. We can barely even put it on the list.
There's been a couple of those.
So, yeah. Zelda the Wind Waker. Mm-hmm. It's quite different than the rest of the Zeldas insofar as, like, the kiddiness of it and the graphic style. And it just, if you ask me, the relatively, like, short fun that you can have with it. I actually enjoyed it while I was in some of the dungeons, but they're not enough dungeons. Exactly.
There's not enough dungeons, yeah. The dungeons are too short.
You expect, as a Zelda player, 8 hardcore dungeons minimum. Mm. Minimum. That's what I want. Plus a world where I can go do all kinds of shit. Not a world where I can, you know, set myself in a direction, and I leave the house, I go somewhere to do something, come back, and I'm almost to where I wanted to get to, you know? So, but again, you know, a lot of people are still standing behind it, saying that, you know, they liked it, it's different, it was a nice change-up. I wanted more of what I thought Zelda is supposed to be.
Which, and I think we will be getting more.
I sure hope so. They don't screw us again anyway. F-Zero. This is some hardcore racing. I like this a lot.
Good stuff.
This is fast, furious, no shooting people, but you do have to worry about, like, damage, and you can, like, knock people around the course, and it's, let me say this again, it's fast.
Yeah.
This game really gives you the illusion that you're moving, you're hauling ass in your little hovercraft thing in some futuristic race world. I mean, you know, it's cool. Really good racing game for the GameCube.
There were a lot of the courses I wasn't a huge fan of, but there's a few that are absolutely great. And all in all, it is quite a solid game.
It is, and it's $20 now. Pikmin 1 and 2. Lots of fun, I understand.
I still want to play this game.
It's got to be good. You know, I keep hearing great things about it, and I hear good things about it everywhere.
I'm not going to buy it, though. But
me neither. Animal Crossing, another one that I hear lots of good things about, but I'm not going to end up buying it, though. Yeah. These two games are kind of... I would almost aim for the younger audience to begin with on those two.
Right.
Okay. Paper Mario, the 1,000-year door.
Or perhaps the female audience.
Yeah, perhaps. Paper Mario, 1,000-year door.
That looks good.
And I've actually heard some pretty good things about it, too, and then some okay things about it, but no bad things. Interesting RPG. I'm sure a lot of people have been waiting for this for a while.
The GameCube needs all the RPGs in
here. Yeah, they do. So Paper Mario is a pretty good bet, and it seems like nice and fun, and still got some pretty cool action elements to it, where you're still, you know, actually awake, and when you're hitting those buttons, you're paying attention to what's going on, not just falling asleep like I did in Tales of Symphonious Combat, which still was a fun game, but I just didn't get too into it. Star Wars Rogue Squadron 3, it's an older one, but it's still, you know...
Well, it's not that old. It's a lot newer than a lot of the stuff we've been talking about.
Oh, okay. So, and this is what, just flying around shooting things?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's basically it.
Okay, and great for Star Wars fans.
Right.
Super Monkey Ball. This is one hell of an addicting game.
This is what I hear.
It is. Hunter was hooked. I'd call his house and he was like afraid to admit that he was still playing it. You know, it's cool.
Monkey in a ball.
A monkey in a ball, and you roll around like a thing and try not to fall off of it.
It's like a labyrinth type of thing, like those wooden...
Yeah, with the wooden things that roll it, and you roll to control the ball. It's a lot like that, but, you know, incredibly fun. It's from our friends at Sega. But it's a good game. They got Super Monkey Ball, like, 2 out. I don't know about if they're going past that, but I'm pretty sure they're only $20. Mm. But still a lot of fun, you know. Whole family kind of enjoy fun, this kind of deal, right? That didn't make a whole lot of sense, but it was like 3 sentences mashed together in the interest of time.
We got it, though.
All right. Tales of Symphonia. Solid RPG. 2 discs. A lot of fun. You had a blast. I enjoyed it, got halfway through, and then it just got, I don't know, something happened. I was just not kept They didn't keep my interest, really, for some reason. I don't know why.
The story was a little bland.
Yeah, I didn't get attached to the characters, though. Yeah. Like, I thought I was going to. And it seems at first it starts out pretty strong, but then it just disappears right away.
Yeah.
So it was really kind of tricked me into thinking, oh, this is going to be, you know, awesome. And it was, it's a good game. But then all of a sudden, it was lacking the things that I really was looking for to hold out. They were there in the beginning. But then the middle game got pretty boring, but I plan on going back, because it's not a bad game by any means. And if you've got an RPG fan that owns the GameCube, Tales of Symphonia is where it's at. Ikaruga, this is a 2D overhead shooter along the same lines of like R-Type and whatnot. Shooter fans can't get enough of this, and this is a golden title to have in your collection. Not a lot of people seem to have this. I don't know if they didn't make too many copies or what. And the places, if they do still sell it in like a retail store, it's not $20 yet. It's been out since like the damn release of the fucking Cube, and it's like $35 still. Crazy, but it's incredible fun, especially for shooter fans. Probably one of the best ones in a long time. Rayman 3, good for platform. People who enjoy platformers. Mm-hmm. I actually like the Rayman series a lot. I actually like Rayman more than I like Jack and Ratchet and Clank.
Well, it's made by the same guy who made Beyond Good and Evil.
Ah.
It's a French guy.
Okay.
Well, French games.
Definitely take a look at Rayman 3 for your platformer friends, you know? You know, it's actually a lot of fun. I think it's pretty good. Zelda, The Four Swords. Probably what I would have rather had than the Wind Waker come out. You know, this.
Yeah, if I had a bunch of people to play with, this would really something you need four people for.
Yeah, it would. As is Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. Mm-hmm. It's something you're going to need more people with to have the maximum amount of fun with. But those two games.
Although Wolf did say that he had quite a bit of fun playing it single player.
Yeah, he did. He did. But, I think it really shines with the four people. So.
Both of those games were designed for the four people playing.
As is, in fact, we've got a whole group of them together that are all multiplayer, so we're going to kind of name them all at once here. Super Smash Bros., Mario Kart, and Super Mario Party.
Mm.
They're all on the version like 6 or 27 or whatever, and Mario Kart is the only one, what is it called, Double Dash.
Yeah.
If you got a lot of friends, like to play a lot of console games, these are the ones that tend to be the most fun.
Mm.
You've got, you know, Super Smash Bros., a really fun actual, like, brawler. You've got Mario Kart, a fairly fun racing game. It's pretty good. It's not like it should have been, but it's still pretty good. I would go with F-Zero over that, though.
Mm.
And then you've got Mario Party, which is just enormous fun. You got a bunch of people together that like playing a bunch of different little mini games that are actually, you know, involved. And there's like 80 mini games in the new, or 80 new, like, yeah. You knew where I was going with that one. So, yeah, solid games. And then there's always Mario Sunshine, which, along the lines of Zelda, wasn't what people, I think, expected. Still pretty good, but far off the mark.
I liked it more than you did, but it was still not what Mario 64 was.
Yeah, so, but, I mean, if you haven't played it yet, you got somebody who enjoyed Mario 64, or enjoys platforms in general, it's not terrible. It's just not, it should have been something different. We actually have Game Boy Advance. Something we don't talk about nearly enough here, and again, it's getting shoehorned into the last, like, 5 minutes of the show. But, we've got, on the top of this list of the Game Boy Advance player in your house, or the portable game player in your house, we have the Nintendo DS. This thing is going to play these games, so you may as well get, you know, on top of Nintendo's latest, you know, handheld console, rather than buying somebody a just Game Boy Advance. It still has its place, though. You know, like, there's no reason not to have a Game Boy Advance if you don't have anything, but a DS...
Oh, we still run better battery life than the DS would play with advanced games.
Probably. Plus, it's my understanding that it doesn't play Game Boy Color games and Game Boy Mono Color, like the original ones.
Right.
Like the Game Boy, I guess, Advance, you know, will play all of those. So I love to play in the old, Oracle of Seasons and Oracle of Ages and the Game Boy Color on my Game Boy Advance.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't do that, you know, on your DS and you expect to, well, you're out of luck.
Right.
But, let's see. We've got Advance Wars 1 and 2. This is a real-time, turn-based strategy game.
Right.
It's actually a lot of fun. It's not without its flaws, though, but it's fairly cheap now, and it's still pretty fun. The multiplayer is cool. Okay, you like blowing people up on the go? There you go. Advance Wars is good stuff. Golden Sun. This is an RPG out for this, which I liked the first one and hated the second one, and it's weird. I beat the first one and then got halfway through the second one and was just like, this game blows. Lots of puzzles, lots of walking around and you know, doing weird stuff with your skills, trying to make other shit change in the world.
It was really cool how the spell, like combat, some of the combat spells
would affect the world. Affect
the world, and you move boulders and stuff like that.
Solve puzzles and freeze blocks of ice to make them go up so it's a raised platform. I mean, you had a lot of neat stuff going on, but I would seriously recommend the first one over the second one. Mm-hmm. Zelda, Link to the Past.
Solid game.
Yeah, there's only one flaw with this version of it, and it's Link's voice. They changed Link's voice to make it sound like the new one. Yeah, and it's no good, but it's still a very fun game with the sound down. Fire. Why didn't they just put an option in there to turn it on and turn it off? Old style, new style. Put it in the option screen. Default it to new, nobody will notice, and then those of us that get pissed can change it. Fire Emblem. Strategy. Strategy RPG game. Pretty awesome. If you're into stuff like, I would imagine, like Disgaea, La Pucelle, Final Fantasy Tactics, Fire Emblem is going to blow your fucking mind, okay? And also, on this system is also Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. Again, if you're playing the strategy RPGs, you can't go wrong. Stuff. This one, I don't know, fucking Pokemon, okay?
You have to put it on there.
Exactly. It had to make this list because it's going to sell huge. It's insanely popular.
There's like 12 billion different versions.
Yeah, so anyone that you can get is probably going to be just fine. The gamer will like it. Super Mario series remakes. They redid like Super Mario Bros. 1, 2, and 3. You probably could go out and go get the, what is it called? Super Mario Advance 4, I believe, is Super Mario Bros. 3. Probably the best one of the group. Nobody can say no to that. That is just damn fun, side-scrolling, old-school platformer with, you know, updated graphics and whatnot.
The old-school platformer is all about Super Mario World. That game kicks ass.
Yeah, it was good, but I mean, Super Mario Bros. 3? It was before its time, you know, it was...
Did you see the video of the guy who did it in 11 minutes flat?
Yes, I did. I did. Okay, there's also the NES Classic series. The old remakes that are pretty close to the original ones. They're not quite perfect because the Game Boy screen isn't the same resolution. So you're actually missing a pixel like every fourth line or something, which does kind of skew the graphics a little bit. It does look a little strange. Mm-hmm. If you've been playing a lot of, you know, whatever game it is that you know in and out and you just gotta have the classic because you're such a huge fan of it, you're gonna be a little irked, but you're gonna be so happy that you can play this on the go now. Castlevania. Any of those series at all. There's like four of them or something. I have not played a good side-scrolling game in years until I came across the Castlevania series for, well, there's Symphony of the Night for the PlayStation 1. Mm-hmm. Mind-blowing. And this is better than those. These games are better than that one even.
Right.
Because they have that whole RPG element. You get a bunch, like it's a lot of the same idea, but they've added to it and just made it better. And any of those Castlevania games, particularly the newer ones, you know, like the first one was a little dark and hard to see, I understand, on the Game Boy Advance. So try to stay away from whatever the hell the first one was called. Mm-hmm. But like the Area of Sorrow was amazing. And then the one after that, crap, I can't remember what it's called now. But it was awesome. Just incredible games. You can't go wrong buying these for somebody with a Game Boy. Lufia. Awesome old school style RPG, as is Lunar Legends. It's not faithful to the real original Lunar game, mm-hmm. but it's still the same characters and overall using the same idea and the same people, but it's not the same game. And I'm actually kind of depressed by that a little bit because it's not quite as good, mm-hmm. but it's still a very, very solid role playing game on the Game Boy Advance, old style though, as is. And this just came out, Final Fantasy 1 and 2 Dawn of Souls. And I'm so pissed because I got to go buy this now because I have Origins for the PlayStation 1 and we don't have all the extra shit they put in this cart. So if you got a Final Fantasy fan, hook them up with this. Yeah. Nobody saw that, but I just like pointed at Kobar here and some longtime listeners know why. Shining Soul. This is based on the Genesis Shining Force games. Mm-hmm. Kick-ass RPGs. But they're for the Game Boy Advance now. Sweetness. Sweetness. They're like $25 or $30, whatever. You got RPG fans, you got a lot of games to pick from.
The Game Boy Advance is pretty much RPG and puzzle. That seems to be
There's a very large chunk of action games, but most of them do pretty bad. You know, they're just not good. You see a lot of crappy, like stuff that reminds me of like an 8-bit Nintendo game, a lot of that. Mario Kart. The Mario Kart Super Circuit on that was badass. I actually really, really enjoyed that.
Huh.
Yeah, that was a good game. Zelda the Minish Cap is not out. This one slipped on the list because it's Uber Zelda. And
it's good.
It's good, and it's out. You can get it.
It's a little short.
You beat it already? Holy crap! Nice.
I have not beat it, but I'm very
at the
close.
End. Damn. Well, you can't buy it in America, but you can buy the Japanese version or the European version.
You can get it imported.
Yes, you can import it, and it does run on your American, you know, your U.S. Game Boys. There's no region code on that. But it's going to be out January 10th, so this might be the kind of gift.
If you get the European version, it is in English.
Yeah. You might want a gift certificate somebody for this. Huge Zelda fan, might want to hit him up with a gift certificate and say, buy yourself some Zelda on January 10th or 11th or whatever, because it's going to be just after Christmas. But if it was out now, it would sell. They wouldn't be able to make it.
I know, it's Capcom.
Yeah, they
actually
have,
makes it.
They do a lot of the Game Boy Advance stuff.
And they actually did the Oracle ones, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Jesus. I think so.
Alright, we are going to get cut off on the Rant Radio stream here, and we're only going to have about 10 minutes extra, so.
And I will say real quick that because it's Capcom and not Nintendo itself, it feels a little different. The puzzle, the Zelda puzzle logic, like you know exactly, you see two statues, you know exactly what you're going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because it's a different development house and whatnot.
The Nintendo puzzle logic. Holy shit, and you're right. It's like they read from the same book.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. But with this new one, since it's Capcom now, it's different. You're like, whoa, wait a second. I got to actually think again about what I'm doing in
awesome.
Zelda.
It did seem quite, from what I've played of it, it is quite different. Right away, I was like, what the hell? This is not the same, which is a good thing, though.
It is good, though.
Yes. We've got Metroid games. We've got Metroid Fusion and Metroid, was it, Zero Mission or some shit? Two different new Metroid games out for the Game Boy Advance. This was an example of a good job on the action games. Metal Slug. There's a couple of those out for this thing, too. Another good example of a good game, a good side-scrolling shoot-em-up type action game on the Game Boy Advance. The Kirby series.
Solid fun. It's a platformer, side-scrolling platformer of... It's a little different, though, because you're that marshmallow that sucks things up.
Yeah, but still good fun, though.
I like, we have, my girlfriend has a nightmare or something or other. And
Kirby's Nightmare?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And you suck up the enemies, and then you can swallow them, and you get their powers, like, you get Flaming Sword or, like,
nice.
Different kind of stuff. And so it mixes it up a little bit. It's pretty good.
We've also got on the list here, one that I don't know anything about, Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga. It's some kind of an RPG platformer action game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You have the A and B button, and A makes the front guy, because you can switch Mario and Luigi, depending on which one's front and back. And one makes the front guy jump, and one makes the back guy jump, and then you get special abilities, like if Luigi is in front, you can have Mario jump on his head, and then they bounce really high, and stuff like that. It's actually pretty good.
Huh.
And then... in combat, you have to time your button presses to dodge
cool,
stuff.
Like the Paper Mario Thousand Year Door one.
Right, but it's even more...
Simplistic, probably?
Maybe even less simplistic. It's, for instance, you have the combo moves. So, you start it up, and first you have to have Mario, he jumps. And you have to time the button press. And then Luigi will do something, you have to time the button press. And you, like, combo together and stuff. It's pretty interesting.
Huh. All right, we've got Micro Machines. They have 1 and 2 Twin Turbo, which I dig these. This is a, you know, it's a racing game. It's real simple. There's, like, there's brake and gas and turn. That's it. It's real simple kind of games, you know. This one, though, probably the best one going. It's actually pretty cool. So I remember checking this out now. And, you've got a whole pack of vehicles. You don't have just cars. You got like Indy cars that race on like pool tables. You got, you know, boats that'll race in the bathtub. You've got all these different little vehicles, all kinds of different stuff though. And they race in the coolest environments. Cause like, you wouldn't think about like racing around your bathtub. It's simply too small. But when it's a Micro Machine, it's a track. You know, or like the pool table ones are cool. You know, whatever it is.
Right.
Like a dirty workbench or a desktop, you know, for whatever. And it's neat. It is really neat because it's just like, holy crap, this is what it would look like down here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're fun racing games. And you get to do all kinds of different stuff, you know, to mix it up. You get the boats and the planes or whatever the hell you've got, you know?
Right.
Cars and boats, at least, I know. WarioWare. This is an ADD gamer's dream come true here. There's like 4 hojillion minigames, zero instruction, and like...
They're like 2 seconds a pop.
Yeah.
They're like, bam, bam, bam,
I
bam,
don't
bam,
like it. It doesn't do it for me. I played for like 10 minutes and I just wanted to like strangle the nearest person. So, but
I felt the same way. The problem was there's
it's agitating.
It throws you into each mini game so quickly, and
you
know
what
to,
the hell's going on.
You have to let yourself lose like 4 times before you realize.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, and then it's easy as heck.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. The difficulty was more like you don't know what you're supposed to do, and then you would lose, and you'd try it again. The pain in the ass is when you're like 8 levels deep on a tier. And you get to one that you weren't able to figure out, and you lose your 2 lives or 3 men or whatever, and then you have to start from square one again and do the ones that you figured out. And that's retarded. That's just stupid. And you don't ever know which one they're going to throw at you next. You know, so then like you'll see one that looks a lot like another one, and you think this is how you do it, and you don't, and they don't have a good explanation of the button. There's none. There's no explanation of the instructions. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why I don't like it, but it sells. Insanely popular. Whatever. And then the Mega Man series. The Mega Man series is on the Game Boy Advance, which is probably where it belongs. I'm gonna get hate mail. I'm gonna firebomb. Sorry, Mega Man, but I don't like you very much. They ruin it. They put it on 3D and it sucks balls. So keep it on something that's gonna do it in 2D and you're better off. That's all I gotta say, you know. So that is a pretty solid list. I mean, we gave you just about every game that's probably worth buying, you know, if it's fairly new this holiday season for a certain type, you know.
We missed something, we're sorry.
Yeah, we tried to get a lot, you know, but we also, you know, didn't want to sit here for like 9 hours just listing off games, you know. We wanted to talk about each one just a little bit.
Right.
So you knew a little bit of what you're getting into, so you know, you might have to edit it out this for parental listening. Maybe I'll go edit this myself. Maybe I will actually remove the 3 or 4 times I actually managed to swear in this. Because we did a pretty good job. And I slipped a few in there on accident, but maybe I should try to go through and edit it out just to clean it up for mom and pop a little bit. Maybe you can get your parents to listen. Tell them you want this game and that game. Or, you know, let them figure it out. Drop this in somebody's locker at school.
There you go.
Put it on the CD, you know, or whatever. Or at work. Throw it in their purse or their wallet or their jacket or whatever the hell, you know. Or, you know, put it on CD for them. Hint, hint. You know, listen to this before you buy some bad games for me, you know, definitely. So, next week is going to be on Christmas.
Yeah.
We're not going to record on Christmas, but it'll air on Christmas. So we got to get Santa Claus up in here. That's what I think. All right, we got to go.
All right.
It's time for EverQuest.
Oh, yeah.